We now return to our new series, Tripod, New Orleans at 300. Tripod moves beyond the familiar themes of New Orleans history to focus on forgotten, neglected, or surprising pieces of the city's past to help us better understand present and future challenges. This first month is focused on different immigrant stories, and today producer Lane Kaplan-Levinson introduces us to a woman whose family fled Haiti under the Duvalier regime.
This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson. You're about to meet a woman named Maryse Desjean. But first, let me explain how we met. I was looking for someone to talk to who had ties to Haiti and was led to Renette Hall, the editor of the Louisiana Weekly.
Hello. How are you?
We got to talking, but soon Renette realized that she couldn't really tell her family history in detail. And then she thought of something, or someone.
She sat right next to me. We introduced each other. She has an accent. I said, where are you from? She says, Haiti. I said, my family's from Haiti, too.
So she made a few calls.
The Mardi Gras Indian Hall of Fame dinner. Who sat next to me? Okay. Maryse Desjean. Is she available?
And then I met Maryse. She works at the radio station WWOZ as the volunteer coordinator and also has her own radio show called Jazz in the Park.
She was wearing this beautiful crocheted dress, and at one time in Haiti, you know, that was all the rage. She looked Haitian to me.
And there was that nice familiar feeling.
Yes, that's right.
Like you're saying, what happened with you and Renette Hall, is that something that happens frequently with you in this city?
Actually, it does.
The connection between Haiti and New Orleans traces back to 1698, when Pierre Lemoyne d'Iberville, whose brother Bienville founded New Orleans, left the French-owned colony of Saint-Domingue, present-day Haiti, for Biloxi, where he established one of the first colonies in the Gulf South. Jump ahead a century to the Haitian Revolution. From 1791 to 1804, people fled to American port cities, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. In 1804, the French were finally defeated and Saint-Domingue was renamed Haiti. This was the first wave of Haitian immigration. In 1809, a second wave came from Cuba, where white planters and free people of color had taken refuge with people they claimed as their slaves, even though by French law they had already been freed. Yes, this gets real complicated. Anyway, 1809, Spain had declared war against France, so all the French Saint-Domingue refugees who had gone to Cuba when they left Saint-Domingue during the Revolution had to get out of Spain-owned Cuba. So they went to Louisiana. It was close, people spoke French, voila, 9,000 people, equal thirds white, free people of color, and slaves, all came to New Orleans, doubling the size of the city. Okay, that's your power hour version of Haitian immigration. N'inquiète pas, we are going to return to this stuff in much greater detail later on in Tripod. But for now, back to Maryse's story, which starts in the 1950s with the 40th president of Haiti, François Duvalier, a.k.a. Papa Doc. You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson. The Duvalier regime came into power in 1957, which changed Maryse's life forever. Her father was executed in the early 60s by the government for reasons she still doesn't know. Maryse was adopted by her aunt and uncle, who she then, at that point, called mother and father. But when her uncle tried to retire, he had been the Haitian ambassador to the United States, it became clear that the family was no longer safe.
And he said, intuitively, I sensed that there was something that was evil about it. So I politely excused myself. I said that I was retiring, you know, from the diplomatic life. That same day, people came to our house and they told my mother, do not allow your husband to come back to the house. He has to leave right away, because his name is on a list. And so my father did not come back to the house and he went into hiding for close to 6 months.
This happened to anyone who politely excused themselves from participating in the Duvalier government. And so Maryse's family left when she was only 4 years old and made their way to Washington, D.C. There, Maryse attended high school, college, and graduate school. All this time, her family longed to return to Haiti, but when Papa Doc died in 1971, his son, Jean-Claude Duvalier, a.k.a. Baby Doc, took over and the regime ensued. This meant the family was still not safe and could not return. Meanwhile, Maryse gets her master's, and she and a friend decide to come down to New Orleans on a whim to check out Mardi Gras. She gets here and surprisingly feels right at home.
Did you have knowledge of this kind of Haitian New Orleans connection? Did you have any expectations that you would arrive and be like, oh my God?
Absolutely none. I didn't really know what to expect in coming to New Orleans, but the architecture really just triggered something in my memory. And I felt that I could be in Haiti. And at the time, all of us were still in exile. You know, we couldn't go back. It was until about 1986, I believe, that my mother and father actually went back to Haiti, could go back to Haiti.
And therefore you were able to return.
Yes, and that was close to a little over 30 years, you know, since I had been there. And so over the years, I've realized that, well, you know, this is the next best place to be if I can't return to Haiti.
Wow. Yeah. So you just said, I'm home.
Yes.
Maryse's father was not thrilled about this move. He didn't understand why his daughter would choose to live in the American South, a place so scarred by segregation. Because of this, it took him years to come visit.
So when your dad did finally come visit you, what did he think of this place?
He was amazed. You know, we went to the Treme and he saw the architecture also. He sampled the food. He talked to people. And I could tell he was really enchanted because in him, I saw the same connection that I felt when I first arrived in New Orleans.
Maryse refers to herself as a hybrid. She's barely lived in Haiti, but is from there, and has lived most of her life in New Orleans. And so she's just trying to marry the two. Maryse the two, if you will.
Haitians in general do very, very well because we have a sense of self. We have a sense of self, and that was a gift of the ancestors, you know, who fought for our freedom. And when you have that, then you can kind of move through different countries and you can recognize opportunities. And no matter what, you're going to do the very best. You know that your ancestors fought for you, for your freedom, and that you've got to carry on with that.
Kind of paying respects to what they did for you and also just acknowledging the strength that it inherently gave you.
Exactly, exactly.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
She says anyone affected by Papa Doc still suffers.
The story that I'm telling you, this is really the first time that I can articulate it because I have never been able to say that, you know, I have an adopted family and I have a biological family and this is what happened, the trauma of it all.
And so why do you feel like you've never been able to say it before now?
Because there was always a feeling that one must keep secrets, secrets so that you would protect, you know, the other side of the family.
Maryse says that by sharing this story now, it's like she is finally out of hiding. Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and I'll tripod you later. C'est pas faux tout l'emmène. Si bois pas pour journée, c'est pas faux tout l'emmène. Si soleil pas levé.